Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Speaking to the Young with Robert and Robin. I'm your co-host, Robert Vecchio, and as always with me, my partner in crime, my better half, Robin Wolf. How are you, Robin?
I'm very well, Robert, and how are you today?
I'm very well, thank you very much. And look, we're started, and I didn't even hang up on you yet. So
that's a good thing. I hope you don't.
And how have you
but,
been?
I'm not holding my breath.
I'm sorry?
I'm not holding my breath.
Yes. And so how was your week off?
My week was good. I was I taught a class Saturday with three lovely teachers, one of whom is on our show today. And
yeah.
Sunday, I did the psychic fair in Fairfax, Virginia. Was very surprised to see myself as busy as I was. I didn't know what to expect. And then Monday and Tuesday, I was in Massachusetts taking a class with the miracle messenger, Karen Paolini Correa. And let me tell you, it was awesome. I highly recommend it. Yeah, so I took a soul entrainment course with her. I'm not certified as yet, but I did. I hope to be at some point. But it was a really good class. Yeah.
Good.
So as always,
right,
I'm
so
happy to be home
with
my dogs.
Absolutely, I bet they missed you.
Yeah. So anyway, do you want to introduce Mary?
Oh, I would love to. Okay, so
good.
We are excited and grateful to have Mary Phelan as our distinguished guest on today's show. She is the co-host of the long-running Telepathic TV, over 1,200 episodes, and host of the Inner Wisdom Radio. She is well-known as a spiritual empowerment coach, EFT practitioner and trainer, intuitive reader, dream interpreter, and teacher. She's also the author of the Inner Wisdom Cards, Spirit Animal Cards, the Chakra Affirmation Cards, and Mary's Magical Message Cards. And she's also the creator of the Mapping Your Dream series, Guide to Dreamwork, Psychic Development series, Tarot Certification series, and others. So we would like to welcome Mary Phelan to our show. Welcome, Mary.
Hey, thank you very much, Robert and Robin. It's so nice to be on your show. I'm so honored. Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Hey, Mary.
Hey. Wow, well, this is so great. Thank you. And it's such a good topic, too, especially in these times that we're living through, because it's gotten to the place where getting sleep is looked on as being weak. And I remember going into work and everybody said, "Oh, you got 4 hours sleep? Well, aren't you a princess?" or something like that. Like it's a badge of courage to do without sleep. And people don't realize how harmful it is to do that. We're the only species that purposefully denies ourselves sleep. You don't see a cat running around looking at its watch saying, "I got to catch some mice. Give me some more espresso."
Yeah.
I've only known Mary for, I guess, it's been a few months, Mary, since our introduction. So I'm very excited to have you on the show today. And, you know, it's funny because I was probably one of those people that had trouble sleeping. I know my daughter always has trouble sleeping because I think our minds just never stop. You know, and when we go to sleep, that's when we start to worry. You know, and I guess meditation helped me. And since I meditate, I no longer really have trouble sleeping. But I will tell you, I woke up at 3 o'clock this morning with a stuffy nose. and my dog and I just kept sneezing and sneezing. Not both dogs, just one. And it took me a little while to fall back to sleep. But I actually started stroking his face. He stopped sneezing, and then I just kind of meditated. But I do understand, you know, there are so many people out there that have trouble sleeping. And our dreams. I think dreams have just gotten so wild and crazy lately, like the past 2 months. everyone I speak to seems to have crazy dreams, and they're all asking for interpretations. So I think this is the perfect time to have you on the show. So I'm very grateful that you had time.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you.
Anything,
yes.
Is there anything that you want to start talking about sleeping, how to get a good night's sleep?
Yeah, I think that's a really good place to start, because people don't realize that our dreams really are missives from the beyond. They are messages, and we don't speak in words in this higher world. We all know that. It's symbolic. That's why Christ and Buddha spoke in parables, because words just don't fit it. And if we don't interpret our dreams, in the Talmud it says that a dream uninterpreted is like a letter not read. And it's so true. You can take one dream and drill down into it so detailed that you can learn. It's like a holographic microcosm of a macrocosm. You can find out anything about yourself through different techniques of analysis. But I guess starting off with some ways to get a better sleep, I have a huge list, but maybe we'll just cover a few and then talk about maybe if we have callers calling in with some dreams to be interpreted, maybe just a few suggestions to condense them and what part of the dream might be good to look at, or how to compartmentalize little segments so that we can analyze them. But some of the things that people don't realize is that all kinds of detox happens when you're asleep, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. For instance, there are certain, and of course I'm not a doctor or scientist, but there are proteins in your brain that fold when you are sleeping, and it allows the toxins in your brain to go around it and go down through the spinal cord or spinal column to be taken from your body. And what happens when we don't get enough sleep is you literally have toxins floating around in your brain, and you can feel that when you get up in the morning and you're extremely exhausted. You know that feeling in your head when you do that enough? I'm very familiar with it. I've been sleep deprived most of my life. Well, that is so vital that you sleep. We can die from lack of sleep. I think it's like in 9 days, or there's some finite amount of time that you can die because your body really does a lot of its detoxing. For instance, I think the liver and the kidneys, they say that the adrenals do most of their recharging between 11 p.m. and 1 a.m. or your equivalent to that in your sleep cycle. And the gallbladder releases most of its toxins too. And so if we're not getting that sleep, we're really, it sets us up to be diabetics, because our blood sugar has to, like when you're really sleep deprived, you crave sugar because the brain's trying to get its nourishment. And so that's, of course, not good. But our blood sugar balances when we sleep, and it lowers the, like sleep deprivation lowers our killer T cells or whatever they're called. We age, there's stress, all kinds of things. I mean, I could just go on and on and on about it. And so it can't be the thing that gets crossed off the list anymore. It really has to be number one. You know how, like, if someone wakes you up and you're really tired and you get irritable and grumpy? That is actually a mechanism in our body that will be willing to harm another person in order to get sleep. That's how much the body knows it's vital. Yeah, I get grumpy if somebody wakes me up.
Well, I get grumpy if I don't get enough sleep.
I think we all do.
And
that's the body's way of saying, everybody leave me alone. I need to get to sleep. So I think it's something good to listen to that. Okay, a couple tips to get better sleep. One thing that's really important is not to have surge protectors or electromagnetic fields around your head. A lot of people don't realize that our brain is actually a fine-tuned, delicate device, and that if you have your head by your alarm clock or a lamp or something, it does interfere. And what I do is I have a surge protector that I turn off just to, like, on the other side of my bed. This wasn't the place I used to live. I could not get to sleep. It was like my brain was just agitated all the time. And I realized I got an EMF reader, and I put it on the plug on the other side of the wall from where my head was, and it was way arcing. And so I turned that surge protector and everything off in there. I just unplugged everything, and I got much better sleep. And some of the other things is to keep your temperature under 70 degrees. Do you guys like to sleep in a cooler room?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I find it very hard to sleep if it's warmer than that. And here's something that I discovered. As you get older, you tend to get up more often to go to the bathroom. I don't know if you guys have experienced that.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I'm up every hour sometimes.
Well, the kidneys actually do a lot of their work while you're lying flat in bed. And so what I realized is if I laid down on the couch or something and had my feet propped up for 15 or 20 minutes before I went to bed, it allows the water that accumulates in your legs to be processed through the kidneys. And so I didn't wake up as often.
Ooh.
So that's something interesting.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And they say that, well, that's about remembering your dreams. I won't say that right now, but also the lighting in your room. Some people, their third eye really needs to be in complete darkness in order to convert the serotonin to melatonin, which happens in the middle of the night. And if you can't do that, we can't stay asleep. You know, we keep waking up. Something interesting, Robin, you said you woke up at 3 a.m. A lot of people report waking up at that time. And I know it's reputed to be a upload time to the cosmos, but it makes you wonder if there's some part of the cycle that is segueing into another part at 3, because it just seems to be a common time that people wake up. If you can't sleep in complete darkness, you may not be able to do that whole circadian grounding. And so, especially since you guys are mediums and psychics, you're using your third eye all the time. I would recommend, and for anybody out there that has trouble sleeping, or if you get into sleep paralysis, which essentially is saying that you woke up, your mind woke up before your body did, because the melatonin has other chemicals in it that acts to paralyze your body when you're asleep. Otherwise, you'll be chasing people around or acting out your dreams in the physical world. And if you wake up before your body wakes up, it can feel like you're paralyzed. A lot of people say that that's really terrifying. Has that ever happened to you, where you wake up and you feel like you can't move?
It's never happened to me. Has it happened to you, Robert?
I'm trying to think. I don't think it has ever happened to me before.
It's happened to me enough times that I knew what it was, but at the time, it was terrifying. And I've had people write in and in my dream classes for many years talk about that, and it's just terrifying. It feels like you're paralyzed. And all you really need to do when you feel bad is just to say, my body hasn't woken up, and just tell your body it's time to wake up, and then you can move. So in case anybody has ever had that happen. But that's
I will say that did happen to me when I was pregnant. I do remember waking up on the couch, like taking a nap while I was pregnant with my daughter, and almost feeling like I was on a roller coaster ride where my cheeks would get all prickly and I wouldn't be able to move. It didn't scare me, though. I kind of just enjoyed it. I don't know why. That's the only time it happened to me was when I was pregnant.
Interesting. You see, because probably your whole endocrine system was doing different things while you were pregnant. So maybe that whole conversion from serotonin to melatonin. And a lot of people don't realize, too, if you don't have enough serotonin, which happens in depression, and what causes low serotonin is stress. It all gets back to stress. You've got to reduce your relationship to life, that stress response, because often we can't change the circumstances as much as we can change the way we feel about them. But working on through meditation, getting your serotonin higher, then you can get more melatonin and your whole sleep world gets better. And it's really about getting calm. They say not look at your cell phones and that blue light, and just gradually let your day get darker and darker, just like it would in natural times. But there are a lot of different things you can do and things you can take, which maybe we won't get into so much right now. I think people are getting the basic idea. Mm-hmm. Of, you know, having a consistent bedtime, warm baths, and really it gets to that stress thing again, too. If you can release stress, and one of the techniques I use for releasing the stress of the day, and I get into this in much greater detail in the Dream Workshop series, but if you can, in your dream journal, write down a little bit about the day, or if you don't keep a dream journal, on a sheet of paper, write the things that are bothering you, like Anita at work irritated me, Bill in the grocery store did this or that, or I forgot to call the bank, all those sorts of little things. If you write it on a piece of paper and leave it by the door and say, when I leave in the morning, I'll take that. So it's going to be attended to, but I'm not going to do it right now. That serves to offload a lot of the stress that you carry into the sleep with you.
I like that idea. I think I'm going to start doing that tonight. Wow.
Yeah, I used to do a lot of IT stuff. So I would have all these things coming to me all night, databases I had to design, do this, do that. And it just got to be ridiculous. So I got out of bed one night. And I said, I'm just going to write all this down. It's like you go to the grocery store and you don't make a list, so you're reciting eggs, bread, milk, butter, eggs, bread, milk, butter, and you miss the ride there. But if you write it on a piece of paper, you enjoy the ride.
Yes. And then you're talking to yourself in the grocery store and people are looking at you like you're talking to yourself. Okay, I get that part. Yeah. Wow.
So whatever you can write down, get it out of your head. And I've heard people say that our dreams can be like throwaway dreams. They're just processing dreams. I do not believe that there is ever a dream that is a throwaway dream. I do believe that if you don't get those things out of your head and write them down and say, you'll be there tomorrow. I don't have to run you through my head at 3 a.m. that what happens is you use a different type of symbolism, a very spiritual level, deeply meaningful symbolism. If you don't do that, you're still getting the same message, but it's cluttered in icons of the day. So you'll dream about your boss or work situation, and it takes another layer of interpretation. Then if you clear yourself and go into the dream time at a conscious level, which one of the whole classes is about doing that. It's very powerful. And if you're a conscious dreamer, it's like the Aborigines in Australia have a conscious death where they meditate their whole life. They're really connected to spirit world. And when it's time to go, they know it and they exit their body. It's a very joyous thing. They say goodbye and they leave. It's a conscious death. We, on the other hand, are so terrified and disconnected that we hold on with parts of us. And sometimes that creates long periods of Alzheimer's and dementia. And so if you master conscious dreaming, you are very likely going to be able to master conscious death as well. And so that is a really important feature. And the first step in doing that is don't bring the affairs of the day to the bed with you, because they're going to kind of take up space, let's say. but they're always going to deliver you the message.
Yeah.
So
that's interesting. I never thought about that.
Yeah. And the like the purposes of dreams. Science will say it's just writing short-term memory to long-term memory. It may do that too. I don't know. But I do know that every dream I have ever analyzed, and it's been many, many, since I was a small child, I have had vivid dreams. I've written them down. I've cataloged them. In most all of my psychic development series and my dream series are techniques and stuff that were taught to me in dreams. And so I have a very vivid life. There are beings that come to the dreams for all of us. And the more you focus on anything, the bigger it gets. And the less you focus on it, it's still there. It's like when birds come in the spring, we hear them really loudly. It wakes us up in the morning. But then after a while, we don't hear them anymore because they're not a threat and we just zone them out. Well, that's how it is with dreams. If we focus on them, they start getting richer and richer. They give us a way to create reality, to explain reality, to connect the conscious and the unconscious mind, gives us communication with higher awareness and mass consciousness. It helps us to metabolize our emotions and different events in life. It acts as a psychotherapist. It's problem solving. As a matter of fact, years ago, before databases had a help menu, my bosses, not knowing much about databases, gave me this huge assignment to create macros within the database to auto-fax certain things. Anyway, it was so complicated, and I didn't even know how to begin the table structure. So I wrote on a piece of paper by my bed that I wanted to solve that problem. And I went to sleep, woke up in the middle of the night, and I saw perfectly how to design it. And I drew it. And I went into work the next day and created it, and I didn't even have to debug it. Our consciousness knows so much. I mean, Edgar Casey, there's reams written about his dreaming prophecy and his dreaming remedies for people. My sister and I used to do that before we ever heard of Edgar Casey. If we had to study for a test and didn't have time, we would put the book under our pillow. My sister passed the
phone. Oh my God, I used to do that too. In fact, yeah, I did used to do that. I never actually knew if it was really working, but I did do that.
Yeah, well, it does, and it's been proven in many different ways. But if you are familiar with pharmacology, you know there are a lot of Latin words in that. That you can't just say, oh, I guessed it or I heard it somewhere. Well, my sister, she had four kids and was taking training to be an RN at the same time, so she was a pretty busy lady. She put her pharmacology book, which she didn't have time to read, by the way, under her pillow, and she took the exam and she got an A. And I can't tell you how many times I do that. I love sleeping with books around my bed, too. If you have ever done muscle testing, you know that works, right? You can take pills and your body can test strong or weak for it, but you didn't consume the pill, but yet your body reacted to it. Well, certainly if you have a book by your bed, you are going to absorb the information from that. It just stands to reason.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
Would you say you put it on my nightstand
everywhere
or on
in
your
my room.
Table?
Yeah, I had them. I just sleep on a twin mattress on the floor. One of these days I'll get a real full-fledged bed. But I just kind of surround myself with books and with other things that are meaningful to me. I tell people it's like your launch pad into the cosmos. What do you love? Because for a while I judged myself, oh, I got to clear up these books from around my bed. And then I realized, well, if this really was my spaceship into other dimensions, I would love to take those with me. And, you know, I just think it's a fun thing. to create your space there. And in that workshop, I talk more about how we create the space and everything. But I tell you, analyzing dreams are so incredible. Do you guys have a dream? Or if you want, we can open up to that phase of things.
Sure, we can do that. Go ahead, Robert.
I have I don't even know where to start. Okay, so every time I have a dream that I'm getting married, I always hear about a significant person in my life passing away.
Robert, do you dream about marrying me?
No, it was never dreaming about marrying you, per se. But it was just like the one time I dreamt that I got married, and President Obama was coming to the wedding. And then,
oh my gosh.
I even said in the dream, why would President Obama come to my wedding? Like, seriously? Like, I'm honored, but why? And the next 2 days later, my grandmother passed away. So, and it just seems like every time I have that one dream, I always find out about somebody significant passing away. I don't know why that is.
Interesting. You know what? It sounds like you're one of those gatekeepers for families. Oftentimes, there's someone in the family that always has the precognitive knowing, whether it's through dreams or just in their knowing. And so that's interesting. But let me ask you something about your Obama coming to the wedding dream. Was that while he was president, or was that after?
That was while he became president. That was while he was president, yes.
Because you know what? It's kind of interesting, but what came to me when you were saying that is that there are midwives that usher babies into this reality. I had always felt I never had the time, because there's so many interests in my life, but to start a midwifery of ushering people into the afterlife. I really think you have a talent for this, and it's one of the ways that your higher self is letting you know that. The marriage is sort of like taking one thing and marrying it to the other thing as an officiant. And you are kind of stepping into that. Now, what are some of the other elements with that dream? Do you have any, like, did your dream show you the actual ceremony, or was it just you knew that that's what happened?
I never actually got married in any of the dreams. I was waiting for the bridal party in one. I was at the church in the other. I've had it like 3 or 4 times, and I've never actually gotten married in any of the dreams.
Interesting. So that may be number one, since clearly we haven't listed out the dreams and put them in order, but it would be interesting for you to go back and review. Was there a progression? Was it that it never happened, and then you got to the church, and then the next time it was this? Like, are you progressing toward the actual wedding? Because this could be about a commitment to yourself and your own talents, and that for whatever reason, the married thing might represent. And this is where I have a bunch of techniques to show people how to find their own personal symbolism so that they can understand what that might mean to them. But when we think of getting married, we often think of church, going into the ministry, or being a spiritual leader of some sort. And it may be about your reluctance to really commit to your calling, or your fear of it, or it's illustrating the fact that you're on your way to it.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, thank you.
Sure, and sometimes in a dream, we can take it very literally. Like one time this man was telling us his dream that he had gotten involved with his partner, and they'd started a company, and he had a dream about his partner dragging him around by the foot. And so when we were speaking it out loud, we realized he was pulling his leg. And so in his dream, it was using an expression, but very literal expression that, hey, your partner is pulling your leg, watch out.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. and the partner did turn out to be dishonest. So it's wow. Is your dream always with Obama?
No, that was the only one time.
Or was that?
He was coming to the wedding, yeah. No, never.
Oh, okay.
The other one, the last one I had was when a very good friend of mine passed away. I remember high school friends of mine were there, or high school classmates of mine were all there. So.
You know, I think it would be interesting. You can always get like a general view of a dream, and there's 100 million different, maybe an infinite number of angles to look at it, and they're all valid, and they'll all take you on a tangent. But it's interesting how each one has a slight variant. I would look at that and say, how was that related to the person who passed? Because that's where you start getting traction. Now, was it your grandmother that passed when you dreamed of Obama?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so to me, I would look for your higher self, your inner self, is telling you it was her through the use of the symbols that came to you. After you analyze your dreams for a while, you start really understanding your personal symbolism. And it's so helpful in every way, like the fact that wedding means someone crossing. That's very unusual.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it would be interesting. I would suggest you write them out. If you do, send them to me, and I'll see what the pattern is.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'll do that. Thank you. And before we continue, where do you teach your classes?
Well, I am probably going to teach this either at UMA's in Manassas, or I might do the dream by Zoom, just so that people have like a week in between to do the exercises.
Oh, okay. Because cool. I would.
See, Robert, we're going to get you to move to Virginia one of these days.
Oh, yeah, that's one. Maybe that's what his dream was telling him. He's supposed to move to Virginia. I'll just interpret all of his dreams that way.
Yeah. I think there would be people at my doorstep packing my stuff if I ever said I'm moving to Virginia. So, yeah.
I'd come and help with that.
Oh, I'm sure you would. You would be first online. So.
Yes, I would. So I used to have a stress dream. I have not had this dream in years, but when I was in college or I was working full-time as a graphic designer, I would have stress dreams that I left my house naked, like completely naked, and showed up at work or showed up to school. I don't have those dreams anymore, but they had to be stress dreams, I would think, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Usually being naked represents being exposed or unprepared or not finished with the prior phase, whether that be sleeping or just not ready to be in that place where you're headed. That's a very common one. Or like discovering that you don't have underwear on, or you just have your pajamas on or something like that. And I would agree that that's probably a lot of what that's telling you. But if you look at the dream itself, in every little figurine, every little number or color or feeling that was in that dream is telling you something about that feeling of being exposed. Often you can pull out of it an emotion or a feeling or that particular stress. Do you remember one in particular that you had where you can remember more detail around it?
Not really. I just know that every time I had to study for something, it would come up. You know, I always worry about taking exams. Seriously, it hasn't happened to me, I want to say, in at least 10 years, I don't think. I mean, I just remember it being a constant.
Yeah.
Just constant.
Well, you know, there are
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying there's so many different things that you can learn from that. And I'm not saying specifically to this one, But one of the things I would look at is what was going on in your life when they stopped? Because was that like that a turning point in your life? Whereas prior, maybe you were judging yourself all the time or felt like not equipped or just feeling inadequate in any way. And who doesn't, you know, in some area of life?
Yeah, I would say it stopped about 10 years ago when I really started doing this work. So maybe, you know, I don't judge when I'm doing this work. Mm-hmm. I don't judge myself. I just do it. So maybe maybe it stopped when I started doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't know. But I'm not stressed anymore. Let's put it that way.
That's great.
So that's a good
thing. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone gets stressed, but I don't go to – I also, when I started meditating, my dreams stopped being crazy, I want to say. The meditation really mm-hmm. helps calm your mind.
It sure does. You know, I call meditation the H bar, like the letter H, that we have our waking life and we have the crossbar there and then the dream life. And a lot of times people think that there is this dream body and then it goes into suspended animation and we have a waking body. But really, it's just the part of us that is hanging down in this reality. We're one being and we're there all the time. Our dream body is with us. We use it all the time. We use it in our psychic gifts. We use it in a lot of different ways. And our waking body is also present throughout all those adventures, even if it's just lying in bed asleep. And when you start getting that meditation in there, it's that joiner that joins the awareness of both bodies. And I'm being very simplistic here. I mean, we could analyze it in many different ways, but this is kind of a good visual to see how important it is to meditate, because it gives you that conscious entry into dreams and steering them any way you want at that point, and while still at the same time being open to the universe bringing you messages. There was a period of time I was doing so much lucid dreaming that I was starting to get bored, because I really loved the adventure of my dreams, going in there and letting them unfold by the universal energies. And so I made an effort not to go in and get lucid in them, because it was too much fun just going on adventures. If I was creating it, it was just too much of my own head. I was bored with myself. Yeah. Well, were you going to say something?
Should we take, we don't have that many callers as yet, but Robert, do you want to take the two that we have so we don't run out of time?
Sure.
Okay.
Let me do this one. Hold on. Hello, you're on the air. What's your name and where are you from?
Hi, this is Tracy calling from Florida.
Hi, Tracy. How are you today?
Hi, Tracy.
I'm fine, thanks. Hi.
What's your question for Mary?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay. I had a dream about 3 weeks ago. It was a vivid dream about my uncle that crossed over. It's coming up on the year in a few weeks. And we were in the car. I was driving. We were heading west. And he said, I need you to pay attention. I said, I'm paying attention. I'm listening. He says, no, I want you to open your eyes and look. So I opened my eyes, and he was pointing to the sky. And the sky was in, the cloud was formed as an angel. And I closed my eyes real tight. I'm like, no, this is not real. And he says, you're not paying attention. I said, yes, I'm listening. He says, no, I need you to open your eyes. When I opened my eyes again, like the cloud was an angel. The angel reached out with his right hand, and like on the right hand, the best way I know how to describe it is, it's like he had this big diamond on his hand, and the sky just lit all the way up. It was so beautiful. I don't know how else to explain it, but it was a beauty. And he's like, and I looked and I was so amazed because it was so pretty. You know,
wow.
And I just don't know, is he trying to say something? Is he trying to, you know? And then not only that. I'm sorry?
Oh, no, go ahead. Go ahead and finish. That's fine.
Not only that, he told me that he bought a piece of property, a location for a new restaurant. He told me exactly where it was. It was across the street from the airport. It was 3,000 square foot. And then I said to him, why are you moving the restaurant? And then I said, that means I have to move? And he's like, yeah. You know, and so
wow.
I was confused. And then, you know, the couple of days later, I was telling my other uncle that I had this dream about the uncle that passed, and I was telling him the situation. He said, yeah, wherever he had the restaurant, there was a restaurant there before he moved it, like 30 years ago. And I'm like, huh? But it was
really?
No way I would have known that.
Yes.
Now, you're saying that his old restaurant was in that 3,000 square foot place?
It wasn't. It was in that city, close by.
Oh, okay. Ah, okay. Wow. Well, I got to say, one of the things I do with my dreams is I classify them. And because there are different feels to dreams, and these spiritual dreams is what I call that dream, where it takes you to that high vibration. I have had a number of these that are like this. And first of all, I think you're a very talented dreamer. And so that's something you might want to look into further and just keep exploring. And make sure to write down your dreams, even if you think you're going to remember them. But another thing that I thought was interesting about this dream is that you were heading west. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I've never really talked to anybody else. But I have had many dreams where this divine was telling me to take a group of people and head west. And I would come to these big intersections, and it would be north and south, east and west, and I always knew that we had to go west. And it was in many forms, highways being built to the west. And I feel that that can be, and it may not be your symbolism, but I do think it's a collective symbolism, the idea of going west, since that's the way the sun moves or whatever, that's a way of spiritual advance. But specifically, is this new space to the west of the old space?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It is? Okay.
Yeah.
So I think that was a double meaning there, and paying attention, and that angel in the sky, first of all, is beautiful. And the idea of you saying it's not real, how could this be real? And him saying, open your eyes again, open your
eyes. Real tight. And he was like, no, I need you to open them. I was like, I can, because I was like, no, it's not real. It's not real. Now open. And then it was like, bam, I'm like, wow.
That is so amazing. And I think that that is saying to number one, let go of your doubt, open up to new things, but also open your eyes maybe to people or circumstances that you might get involved in. Because the big diamond, I think, has many interpretations. For instance, the diamond body is that higher consciousness body that we evolve into. That's one dream, or one part of that dream. But the big diamond on the hand, right as he was saying, open your eyes, it makes me wonder if that's talking about be careful about a partnership, like just keep your eyes open. It could mean literally like we get diamonds with engagement rings, or if there's a business partner that you're talking to, he's just saying, keep your eyes open. Is there anybody that you do business with?
No, not presently.
Okay. Are you engaged, or are you
no.
thinking of it? Okay.
No.
I would just say.
Not that I won't know.
Maybe he's telling you are going to be, because dreams have a lot of precognitive elements to it. And if you write your dreams down and then go back and interpret them a couple of months later, you're going to be amazed at how much was already being shown to you. So what about that restaurant? Are you going to be opening one? Or do you have a restaurant that's open?
I wanted a food truck, like something I do like on Fridays and Saturdays. So I've been dancing around with it. But I never, you know, if it's possible, I'll jump at it if the opportunity presents itself, of course. But Physically, I don't have the funds to get it started, so.
Yeah. Well, I think that it's a big idea, but the big diamond can talk about committing to an idea. And since he was showing you maybe how he got things started, I would go back and look at how his life went, how he got on his feet, the kinds of things he did. Did he borrow money? Did he get investors? Did he do all that? So there's a very practical element to this dream where there is a lot of information. I think if you review it and you look at it as practical advice, I would also recommend going to bed at night and telling your uncle that you would like more information, that this is your desire to open this up and how any other advice, and then keep your eyes open as you go. And what I wrote down, right hand, what did that have? What element did he have, the diamond on his right hand?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. I'll have to think about that.
Well, you know what? We were driving, heading west, and the angel was facing us. So it would be my right hand that would make it his, I think, the left hand, correct? Because we're face to face. Right.
Yeah.
So it would be the left.
Okay. Because if it's on his left hand, I think it's talking about committing to your idea. Just commit to it and open your eyes and see the resources around you. But wow, what a powerful dream. What a powerful dream. And, you know, there are lots more elements to everything, but I think that's probably in this format about what I see here.
Okay.
Wow, well, thank you for sharing that. That was very beautiful. I think all of us were really moved by that.
Yes, we were. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
See, Robin, I was able to hang up on somebody that wasn't you, okay?
That's very nice of you, Robert.
All right, I have one more. Here's another caller. Hold on one second. Hello, you're on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air. What's your name?
Hi, this is Kathy in New Jersey.
Hi, Kathy. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you. I'm hoping all of you are as well. My question, good. I was wondering if there's a difference between the very, very vivid dreams that someone has where everything is in detail and you really feel like you're living it versus the abstract dreams like, oh, yeah, it was just a good feeling and, oh, there were some butterflies or whatever. Is there a significant difference in them or it's just a different way that you would need to interpret them?
You know, that's a very brilliant question. I think you're one of the few people that have ever asked me that. But there is a segment in that I talk about this, and that is your perspective within the dream has a lot to do with the literal thing going on in your life. If your perspective is looking at it like a movie, then whatever is going on in that, the dream is telling you, and this would clearly depend on what you're watching, but it would say either remove yourself from it, look at it from above, or it's saying you're too dissected from it or you're too distanced from it. You need to get in there and start feeling it more. And, of course, which one that is would have a lot to do with what is going on. Whereas if you are doing it first person, there are actual dream experiences and dream places that we go to. I have places that I go that I've been to many times, and I will explore different places. And in that dream, I will remember being there and doing things that happened in other dreams. And that very vivid type thing, I think number one, it's something vivid that you need to see, that you're being shown. But I also feel it's a dimensional plane you're on in your dreams, because we leave our body, we go into different realms. And every time I have those sorts of dreams, it's a place. It's like a frequency band I'm on. And then the abstract feeling, it might be where you're getting teachings and learnings in your emotional body that don't have words. I do EFT, emotional freedom techniques. I have for a long time, and it's basically working with people's emotional body. And when you get in there, there aren't words. There aren't these sophisticated storylines. It's just feeling. And so when you are working with that level of awareness, you might have dreams with color, feeling, or just a knowing. Lots of different angles on that.
Very interesting. Thank you. I could listen to you absolutely all day.
Absolutely. That's so sweet. Thank you. It's so nice of you to call in.
Yeah, thank you very much. You can
thank
the next person now. Have a good day. Thank you.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, let's take another caller. And I didn't hang up on anybody, I promise. Hello, what's your name? Where are you from? You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. My name is Wendy from Sacramento, California.
Nice. How are you today?
Well, I'm glad that I'm employed. I'm with the same company for 2 years. It's a call center for medical insurance. It's extremely stressful. And I recently was moved to a new boss. The team lead is fabulous. But the main person who oversees my boss, I'm not too sure about. She's a different personality.
Okay, hi, Wendy. Wendy, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we're only talking about dreams today. Please call back another day when we are doing readings. Thank you.
Thanks, Wendy.
Thank you.
All right.
Wendy may want to.
Sorry, go ahead, Mary. What were you saying?
Oh, I was just saying if she's still listening, she might want to go into her dream and look for the answer herself, because I think life uses the people in our life as petty tyrants often to get us to shore up a part of our energy there. And it sounds like that's what's going on, and dreams would actually be a perfect thing. If she interprets her dreams in that context, I think she could find some valuable information.
Absolutely.
That is true. Mary, do you have any final words that you want to say before the show ends? We have a few minutes. Do you want to talk anything about your TV show? Because you told me there's a possibility that you're reinventing it.
Yes. We did telepathic TV. We have hundreds of episodes out on YouTube, but and it's sort of like a teaching show, a talk show with my partner, Neville Johnston. And we're probably going to start the podcast back up, that end of it. In the old days, we went to a TV studio and did all this and had to get volunteers every week, and it was quite a production. And then convert it all and post it. But now it's just so easy. You can record things and upload it. So we'll probably start doing that. And I would love to have you all on the show when we do.
That would be great fun.
Yes, absolutely. And I also love this partnership with Uma and Robin and Bonita and I. So we're going to have lots to come in that area as well.
Nice.
Yes, I'm excited about that. It's going to be an exciting partnership.
Yes.
An interesting partnership.
All right.
Well, we thank you for taking the time out of your busy day to come on our show. Is there an email address or someplace anyone can contact you if they want to talk to you or hire you?
Yes, it's the website is telepathictv.com, and the email is telepathictv@yahoo.com.
Well, that was
awesome. Real easy. Well, thank you, guys. It's really been an honor being on your show, and thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Mary. We'll talk to you real soon.
All right, bye,
okay,
Mary.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care.
See, I didn't hang up on you. I'm very proud of myself. I made it through a whole show without hanging up on you. So,
I'm proud of you too, Robert.
Me too. I'm very, and as I look outside, the clouds are getting overcast. And as we were talking to Mary, some blue jays were flying around my yard. So I always take those as a sign that spirit is around. And what's on next week's agenda?
So next week we'll get back to doing psychic readings.
Okay.
So we invite all the callers to call in for some readings. And in coming months we will have, let's see, who are we having? Bonita Woods will come on and talk about, what is she going to talk about? I'm not sure what she's going to talk about yet. Bonita channels the Ascended Masters, Mother Mary, Jesus Christ, and so on and so forth. So she'll come on and talk to us about that and possibly channel for us. And then we're also talking to Ellen to come back and talk about the Law of Attraction once again and take us a little deeper into that. But
awesome.
Next week we'll do some readings.
That's awesome. All right.
And we will also have do the last part of our summer contest. We will do a pick someone, a caller, to have a free reading with a free 30-minute reading with either Robert or myself. So definitely call in because you may win the contest.
That's it. And I've learned so much today that I'm going to leave a book right by my bed and tonight, and maybe even put one under my pillow and hope that none of the dogs get at it.
That's awesome.
So we're going to close out a little earlier tonight. And Robin, I will talk to you sometime soon.
Yes, you will.
All right. Goodbye, everybody. Have a great week.
Thanks for calling in and listening.
All right, bye.